do want to extend Christian greetings to each of you here this morning. It's good to be gathered together again in the house of God, and it's also good to be back home again. I appreciated the thoughts that were shared on what does it mean to follow Jesus. And sometimes I've thought already that if I could have just lived in the time of Jesus and listened to his teaching and followed him, was one of his disciples, maybe it would have been easier than living in the time we live in. But I don't think that's right. I think that for every individual, the cross of Christ needs to be followed, and it takes a surrender of our will to follow Jesus, whatever time we are living in. Appreciated those thoughts. It goes well with my thoughts this morning on what I'd like to share. I'd like to invite you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 33. Begin reading in verse 11. I'd like to think on the thought of how God told Moses, "I know thee by name." He told Moses that, and I'd like to explore that a little bit, what that means. And I'd like to also look at some other things that God knows, and then conclude with the thought of how God, does God know us by name? Does he know me? Does he know you? Beginning here, Exodus chapter 33, I'd like to begin in verse 11, but the background here, Moses was in the tabernacle, and all the people stood up in their tent door and looked at Moses until he went in the tabernacle. And God came down and talked to Moses. Verse 11 says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people. And thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, Moses replying, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And we'll just stop reading there, but we know the story, how he went on there, and God made his goodness to pass before Moses. And God told Moses that he could not see all of it, because there's no man can see God face to face and live. But he put Moses in a cleft of the rock, and he passed before Moses. And he says he put his hand over Moses so that he couldn't see all, but he saw part of God's greatness and God's goodness. This story is interesting, and we think of the relationship that God had with Moses, and how God saying that, Moses, I know you by name, is a validation to the aspect that Moses had a good relationship with God. God knows everything. We can understand that. And he knows the name of many people, of every person. We cannot hide that from God. We cannot hide ourselves from God. But this This phrase here, "I know you by name," indicates that God had a special relationship with Moses. It speaks here of their friendship. It said here that God spoke with Moses as a man speaks with his friend. And I believe that was what this was talking about. It spoke of friendship, companionship they felt between them. It's the highest honor that can be placed upon any individual for God to say, "I know you by name." There may be three things that this speaks of. One would be personal interest, God knowing us personal, the interest he takes in us individually. There are many people that God sees and knows all about, yet when he knows us by name, he is saying, "I'm spending one-on-one time with you," as he did with Moses. He spake there as a man spake with his friend. He also spoke with Moses about the things that Moses was facing. And Moses here seemed like he was unsure of how to lead this people. And he was saying, "Who's going to help me do this?" And God was helping him through that. Another thing that it would speak of would be personal value. God does value every person. And Jesus died for every person. Yet when he knows us by name, or he has that relationship, I believe he's individually putting a value on that person as his own son and as his own daughter. And it's a personal value that he places upon them. Another way that this could mean, it would be the personal understanding. I talked about that some, but God understands every person that's on earth. He understands what we're going through. But yet when we have that relationship, he loves them, and he understands and brings them through the hard times, through the struggles, as he did here with Moses. In this story, he understood Moses. He understood the things Moses was facing. He gave the best answers to the questions that Moses asked. And the same is true for us. If God knows us by name, he also will reveal some of his glory to us, as he did to Moses. Enough glory that we can understand that God does have an interest in us. We think of this aspect of God knowing us by name. We studied this morning in the Sunday school lesson how Jesus is superior to angels. I think it was said that Jesus is the highest authority that man answers to, and that is right. The Trinity being involved in that, Jesus and God. But if we think about if the governor of Washington was to come into here this morning, and he would look out and he would pick somebody, he would say, "Clayton, I know you by name." Well, then there would be evidently a relationship there. And it would be probably pretty honorable to have the governor or maybe the president of the United States to recognize that relationship. But this morning we have a much higher individual. We have God himself that has told us, given us the pathway where we can have a relationship with him, and he can know us by name. It's much more noble to know for God to know us by name than for the governor or the president or any other person. And this morning, I trust that God does know us by name. He knows us, who we are, and as a child of his. Proverbs 22 verse 1 says that a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 1, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Often a person makes the name, and if we are a follower of God, then we can have a good name, and it's better than riches or silver and gold, it says here. In our Sunday school lesson in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 4, I can't remember how it says that, but talk there about Christ and His name. It says that being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by an inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Talking about Christ's name. And also, if you turn to Philippians 2 and verse 9 through verse 11, it talks again about Christ's name. Philippians 2 and verse 9 says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him," meaning Jesus, "and giving him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." There we think about the name that is above every name. And we can know Him. He can know us by name and personally. And that's a greater honor than to have a popular person on earth knowing us by name. There are other things I'd like to look at that God knows as we think about His interest in our life, His interest in us in knowing our name is amazing. He has provided a way for that, but there's other things that show that God is interested in us and He cares about us. I'd like to look at some of them. The first one would be in Luke chapter 12. Verse 6 through verse 9. Luke chapter 12, verse 6. "Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God." Here he says that he knows the sparrows. He doesn't forget them. He takes care of them. And he also says that the very hairs of our head are all numbered. And he says that we're more valuable than many sparrows. And then he goes on, he says that if we confess Jesus before men, just like He does not forget any sparrow that falls, or He knows every hair of our head, He will also be that faithful in those that confess Jesus before men. But He also says that if we deny Him before men, He'll remember that also. God is interested in the details of our life. Isaiah 40, verse 25 and verse 26. If we think that God knowing the hairs of our head is amazing, then let's turn to Isaiah 40, verse 25 and 26. "To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Lord? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth." Here he's talking about the heavens, the stars, and the galaxies, and so on. He says that he bringeth out their host by number, and he knows the number, but not only that, it says he calleth them all by names. It says, "For he is strong in power, not one faileth." There's not one that bypasses him. He knows it all. That's hard for me to understand that, and especially as I saw the celestial heavens there at Bible school. The vast amount of stars and galaxies, and to think that our God knows everyone by name is amazing. Psalm 147 and verse 4 also says that. He says, He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. He knows the number, and He also knows, calleth them all by their names. It's very humbling to know that we serve a God that does that. And yet sometimes I find myself doubting whether God cares about the small things in my life. And God does care. He knows the very hairs of our head, and He knows how many stars there are. He is interested in the small things of our life. In Genesis chapter 18 is an example how God looked at the faithful people, and He knew what they were doing. Genesis 18, verse 16. This is what God knew about Abraham. And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? This is when He was going to destroy Sodom. Verse 18, Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. We'll stop reading there. But here it says, God said, I know him. God knew Abraham and what Abraham would do. He said that Abraham would command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment. What is God saying about you and I? God does know us. God does have an interest in us. Are we faithful? Does God know us this way? Over in chapter 22, verse 9, is another thing that God knew about Abraham. Genesis 22, verse 9. This is the account where God told Abraham to take Isaac and go to the mountain and offer him there for a burnt offering. And we're breaking in verse 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Here, God said that by Abraham passing that test, he said, I know you, know that you love God more than these, more than your son. And that was a test for Abraham. Does God know us that way? There are Isaacs in our life that we become attached to. And God sometimes calls us to take them and put them on the altar. Are we as faithful as Abraham? Does God know that? Does he say of us, I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld this thing from me? And God will bless us as he did Abraham. God also knew the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, when they were facing hard times there in Egypt under slavery. Exodus 3, verse 7. Says, And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And then he said, I'm come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptian, and to bring them up out of the land into a good land and a large, and so on. But here he says that I know their sorrows. God's people were in bondage and in slavery and very hard times. And although maybe to them it seemed like God did not see, yet God did see. He said, I know their sorrows. And that can be a comfort to us today. God knows what we are going through. God knows our sorrows and the things that we face in life. The churches that in Revelation, Jesus told them, every church, he says, I know thy works. And this is seven times. Every church, Jesus said, I know thy works. And that's true of us. And that's true of Pine Grove Mennonite Church. Jesus knows our works. He knows what we need to improve on. He knows where we need to correct. He knows the faithfulness and the the victories and those that are faithful. He knows all of those things. There are promises that God has. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says, For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. He knows the thoughts that he has towards us. Even though our thoughts are warped sometimes of how God thinks about us, this here, God says, I know what I think of you. And in John 10, Jesus, the good shepherd, says that I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus says, I know the sheep and am known of mine, and he knows the Father. I'd like to turn now back to the book of Genesis, chapter 32, and read a story that of how Jacob wrestled with the angel. Read this story here in Genesis chapter 32 and verse 24. Beginning verse 24. This was when Jacob was coming back to meet Esau, and he did not know what Esau's response to him was, because when he left there was strife between them. But he had went to Laban and he had married two of his daughters, and the Lord had blessed him abundantly. Now he was coming back to meet Esau with abundance. And this was the night where his servant said that Esau is coming to meet him with 400 men. And it seemed like Jacob was at a loss to know what to do or how this whole thing was going to turn out. And maybe his whole life was exposed before him that night. And he didn't know how this was going to turn out. In verse 24 of Genesis 32, it says, And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. And he said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Penuel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. This story of Jacob is somewhat of a type of the Christian facing the things in his life. And I'd like to think here of this parallel. If I understand correctly, the last time that Jacob was asked who he was when he was getting the birthright, or maybe we could call it stealing the birthright from Esau. And he said, I am Esau, thy firstborn. This time, when he was asked what his name was, he owned up and he said, I'm Jacob. And Jacob means supplanter. And could it be that he had owned up to who he was? He had changed. He had viewed life from a different perspective. And he says here that he did not want to let this man go. I'm not sure if it was an angel, or some think maybe it was Christ. I'm not sure who it was, but he was wrestling there with him, and he wanted a blessing before he left him go. And he recognized the honesty of Jacob, and Jacob changed his name. We also have lived a hypocritical life, trying to be somebody we weren't in before we were a Christian. The child of God was that way. When we lived in sin, we tried to be good, and Romans talks about that, trying to do good after the flesh and finding ourselves falling and failing. But when we own who we are, we own that we are a sinner, and we wrestled with God, and we finally gave in and asked God to bless us and forgive us. God gave us a new name. He has actually written a name for us in heaven. Maybe it's the same name, but yet it's a new meaning because we are now a child of God, not a child of the devil. God knows us by name at that point. And those of us this morning that are living for Him, God knows us by name. And He has that name recorded in the book of life. And on the great day of judgment, when the book of life is opened and our name is written, it will verify that God knows us by name. And those that are not found written in the book of life will go to the lake of fire, a place of eternal destruction. And this morning, whether or not God knows us by name, will make a vast difference in our eternal destiny. It's not a matter of whether the governor or the president knows us by name. It's not that important if the governor or the president or whoever else you want to name, if they would know us by name. It's not that important, but it is very important this morning that God knows us by name, because He has the authority to put us in one of two places in eternity. Jesus told the church in Revelation, the church at Sardis, He says that thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. The call to us to be faithful. And maybe we are called to live in a time of Sardis, when there's a lot of pressure, a lot of influence for us to compromise and to give in and to follow the things of the world. There's a lot of Isaacs that we're called to put on the altar. And we're constantly having to choose between the ram that's caught in the thicket or the Isaac on the altar. And how will we choose? And here he says that he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. Revelation 20, verse 15 says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Is it important that God knows us by name? And Matthew chapter 7, a few verses there. Verse 21 through verse 23. This is what will be heard to those of those that God does not know by name. Matthew 7:21. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Here he doesn't say that I do not know you by name, but basically that's what he's saying. He said, I never knew you. And it does not matter so much if we proclaim to know God, or yes, that does matter, but there's many, like it says here, that are saying, Lord, Lord. They're talking about their relationship with God and how good that is. But the important thing is, what does God say about his relationship with me? That's the important thing. And here he says, I never knew you. Those that proclaim the loudest that they were close to God, he says, I never knew you. It's important that we stop and consider whether God knows us by name. We can have a new name. Jesus says, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. I'd like to look at a couple verses in 2 Timothy chapter 2. As we think about God knowing Moses by name. Second Timothy chapter 2. And verse 19. Maybe it would be nice to have to be able to be like Moses and go into the temple and have God come down and tell us face to face, I know you by name. But here it says in 2 Timothy 2, verse 19, Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. What better seal do we have as the children of God? That it says that having this seal or this promise, the same God that knows the hair, the number of the hair that we have on our head, he calleth the stars by their names, he doesn't forget the sparrows, that same God knows whose are his. The Lord knoweth them that are his. This morning, we do not need to fear of that someday, somehow he'll get mixed up and he'll miss my standing with him, or he'll misunderstand it. God does know, and the Lord knoweth them that are his. That's the foundational promise of the Christian life. The foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Like to read yet in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 and verse 17. As we think about what that actually means, there are many things that we can rejoice in this morning. God's goodness is great and broad and wide, and we couldn't begin to exhaust all the ways that God's goodness is to us this morning. But Luke chapter 10 and verse 17 says, And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, This is when Jesus sent the 70 out to witness. And they came back and they said, Even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And listen to what Jesus said. And Jesus said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. There are multitudes of blessing as God's people this morning, living in a land of peace, plenty, being able to live our Christian life, and those things are good. We need to be thankful for all of them. But sometimes in the busyness of life and in all the things that come to us, we forget that the biggest blessing we have is that our name is written in heaven. And this morning I'd like for us to just remember that as we go through life, that there's joy on our face and there's joy for the day because our names are written in heaven. Sometimes we sing the song, "Is My Name Written There?" And I like to, the first verse says, "Lord, I care not for riches, neither silver nor gold. I would make sure of heaven, I would enter the fold. In the book of thy kingdom, with its pages so fair, tell me, Jesus, my Savior, is my name written there?" And that's the greatest question that we can ask ourselves today. And the greatest joy that comes to us if we know that our names are written in heaven. Let's kneel for prayer.